plan to rescue family farms is underway in Honduras. For decades, inequitable land distribution, slash-and-burn farming, and uncontrolled erosion have turned entire regions into desert and forced hundreds of thousands of farmers into the cities. This has created a new kind of migrant, the environmental refugee. But two programs in southern Honduras are looking at ways to help restore the damaged soil and keep farmers on their lands. One is a grassroots effort that could serve as a model for small-scale development projects. The other is a U.S.-funded plan that is trying to change the way people farm across the entire country. Producers Nancy Pastero and Sandy Tolan prepared this report.
Julio Salgado aims his four-wheel drive truck through billows of yellow dust in the drought-stricken hills of southern Honduras. 30 years ago, these hills were heavily wooded, but now they're barren. Salgado, a Honduran agronomist, says they've been destroyed by a generation of burning.
There are practically no soils left anymore. What is left is just plain rock. You can see their people planting their crops, knowing ahead of time they won't be able to harvest anything.
This is one of the most ecologically devastated landscapes in all of Central America. Salgado and his fellow technicians represent one response to the calamity, a $50 million project sponsored by AID, the U.S. Agency for International Development, to help restore the land.
I think we can recuperate 60% of this land and make it productive once again. But the rest is irreversible.
Salgado points his truck toward a single speck of green in the hills above, the showcase farm of the LUPE project, which stands for Land Use Productivity and Enhancement. AID has sent teams of technicians from the capital to convince the local people that they must change the way they farm on the steep slopes if they want to remain on the land and grow enough food to survive. In a few places, like here at the small farm of Miguel Gomez, the soils have begun to regenerate. Miguel describes the changes he made to help bring his land back. First, he says, he broke the centuries-old cycle of burning the land. This practice worked for people in the days before population and land use pressures made migratory farming impossible. Now, the weeds and dried corn stalks on Miguel's plot, which used to disappear in flames, instead nourished the soil. He shows the terraces he built to slow the erosion and catch the runoff from the scarce rains, and the fast-growing trees he planted for firewood and for shade from the blazing heat. The leaves from these trees, he explains, are used as an organic fertilizer for his crops. Now Miguel, a starving farmer 10 years ago, lives on an oasis that feeds his family.
En los primeros años, el año que vine acá, la tierra prácticamente estaba ruina.
When I first came here, the land was practically ruined, destroyed by the years of burning. I thought I was going to have to leave, but I started to work with the teachings of the engineers, and now I have seen that it will produce. I won't think of leaving it now.
No pensaría ya en abandonarlo.
But success for Lupe has been limited in southern Honduras. Miguel and two other farmers are the only ones left out of the 20 in this village who began the program. Critics say the blame for Lupe's problems here lies in the program's top-down approach. The technicians arrived with plans and instructions from the city, but were unable to convince many farmers to devote long, hard labor to an untested experiment, especially when the cost of failure meant not feeding their families. Then the technicians offered food and tools as incentives to participate, but found that only created dependency. When they stopped the incentives, some farmers became disillusioned and abandoned the program. Roland Bunch, who has 30 years' experience in agricultural development, says a successful program depends not just on its technical expertise, but also on its attitude toward local farmers.
Among the principles are those of not being at all paternalistic, not giving anything away or doing things for people, but stimulating on their part a movement toward a better way of life. And this means that the people must become involved not because they're going to get something for it or because somebody's going to pay them to do it or because somewhere down the line there's going to be some sort of free tools or free food or free anything else, but rather because they are really motivated to do it themselves.
Nearby, in another ravaged part of southern Honduras, Roland Bunch's philosophy is put into practice by his fellow workers at World Neighbors, a grassroots development group based in Oklahoma City.
Así como en tierra la piocha, ¿verdad? Podemos dar dos piques para abajo, por ejemplo, así.
These 10 farmers in the village of El Paraíso have just joined the World Neighbors program. Now they're considering whether to implement an innovative plowing technique on just a corner of their plots. It's small scale, low risk, minimal investment. This is at the heart of the World Neighbors philosophy. The instructor is a local farmer named Leoncio Valladares, who was sharing the World Neighbors techniques he learned himself just a few years ago.
Nosotros servimos como un puente de estímulo.
We serve as a source of stimulation, as a way for the people to come together and find solutions to the problems.
Leoncio says the key is for farmers like himself to be willing to teach other farmers. This has proved to be a huge success. 80% of the farmers World Neighbors has worked with in Honduras have stuck with the program. In some parts of the country, farmers have tripled their harvests. Entire communities have become productive again. And here in El Paraíso, farmers can already see things starting to change.
I want to improve my lands with these new teachings. And then later I'll bring in my brothers, my uncle, and teach them, because they too have to learn these things for our future.
The ultimate goal of World Neighbors is to get enough people involved to trigger a multiplier effect when people begin teaching each other on their own initiative. When that happens, Roland Bunch says, programs like World Neighbors are no longer needed.
If the effects of a development program are to be at all sustainable, it's absolutely imperative that the activities that are engaged in become part of a movement. There's no way professionals are going to get to all of the need in Latin America. If we don't train villagers to solve their own problems, the problems will never get solved.
Bunch says without these kinds of grassroots changes, more lands will be converted into desert, more families will pour into the cities, and eventually, hunger in Latin America will turn to starvation. But for now, most farmers in Honduras still burn their lands. Only a few patches of land are being restored, and the exodus from the barren landscape continues. With Sandy Tolan, this is Nancy Postero reporting.